Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who sets aside one of these least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of all the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Romans 13, 8 to 10. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up by this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law.
So within the past week or two, I was able to pick up on a certain building interest in today's sermon topic. Wayfarers have the freedom to dance. And I do suspect there was a Mennonite insider thing going on with this interest. There's actually a couple of Mennonite and dancing jokes. Like, what's a Mennonite ethical dilemma? Free dance lessons. There is a second one, but that one will have to wait till later. Wayfarers have the freedom to dance. Alrighty then. This morning, in a rather strange and risky move, I will attempt to uncover some gospel using two examples I know next to nothing about: dancing and music. For many of us who grew up in the Mennonite orbit, dancing was considered taboo. The people of the world were those who did that. We in the Mennonite community did not. I did not ever see my parents dance. At my aunt's and uncle's wedding receptions, adults sat around on chairs and talked. And talked. And talked some more. Talked until it was time to go home, and we kids made the best of it, running around like rascals until it was time to get into the DeSoto. I have a little doubt the no dancing rule was created with the best of intentions. It certainly was. It was meant to signal a difference between how our Mennonite community of faith behaved and how the behaviors of the world were different, how our behaviors differed. The rest of the world danced and listened to jazz music. We sang our hymns unadorned, and we did not dance. It was thought one should be able to see the difference between Christians and knots. Not yet. It was a good idea, at least at the beginning. There is a long history of paying attention to Christian behaviors. Way back in the second century, when an anonymous Christian was asked the question, "What is a Christian?" they replied with a list of behaviors, 33 of them. I will give you only a few of them. Now, if you're from the Mennonite orbit, you are likely to hear these 10 a certain way. If you pay attention to the current news, you might hear them another way. If you are actually new to the way of Jesus, you might actually hear them differently altogether. When asked what is a Christian, a second century Christian offered this: You cannot identify Christians from other people by nationality, language, or custom. I'll say that again. You cannot identify a Christian by nationality, language, Pennsylvania Dutch, or custom. They follow local customs in clothing, food, and other aspects of life. Christians, they marry and have children like everyone else, but they do not kill unwanted babies. You might think this is about abortion, but it's not. There was a practice of leaving unwanted children out for exposure to kill them. Christians didn't do that. Christians obey human laws, but surpass these laws in their personal lives. They love everyone, but are persecuted by all. They are short of everything and yet live in abundance. They are mocked and yet they bless in return. Christians are held like prisoners in the world, yet it is they that hold the world together. That is what one century Christian said. Now, what is odd about this list of 33 is that it does not mention Jesus, not once, nor does it offer any kind of theological statements. There's no atonement theories. There's no confession of faith. It is a list of things that Christians do, how they behave, how they behaved differently. I used the Mennonite no dance rule to my benefit in high school. As an introverted guy, it never did occur to me to sneak across a state line to go dancing at Riverside, the local teen hangout at the time. What did occur is that dancing came looking for me. For 2 weeks, our Blue Ridge High School phys ed department folded back the gymnasium walls and melded the boys and girls gym periods into a segment on square dancing. Cue up the record player loudly and do-si-do for a full 45 minutes. When I brought this home, my parents said that I could get a note from Pastor Jonas and be excused from this square dancing. And because I was rather shy, and because I did not want to rub shoulders with any of those girls in my class, I used the Mennonite no dance rule to my advantage. I got to sit on the bleachers and watch. During which time, some of the other guys in my class began asking about coming to my church. Now, we all have behaviors. Every single one of us, if we're alive and breathing, have behaviors. We might even stop and ask, why do I do what I do? I repeatedly have certain habits, but why? I had a New Jersey-born Italian friend named Steve Arcuri who became fascinated with Amish culture, and he would make frequent trips from up north down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania area to visit Amish shops and to visit with them. And he went south often enough to be able to befriend one Amish store owner who said to Steve one day, "Sometimes I wonder if the Amish things that we do are correct. If the Amish behaviors matter." And I don't know how it ever turned out with Steve's Amish friend, but he was asking the question that we might all ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? What is the source of my behaviors? Now, laws can be tricky things like traffic laws and tax laws and laws against abuse. We conform to these laws so that we do not get into trouble with Pennsylvania or with the federal government. We obey them because there is a big what if, what else, hanging over our heads. Legal troubles could come to us, and we learn to conform, and so we buckle down. And then there are religious laws and rules, like the Ten Commandments, which are meant to develop human behavior to be truth tellers, and to not kill ourselves with too much work, to live in fidelity. And I suppose the same was true of the no jazz, no dance, no rock and roll restrictions. They were meant to develop the character in persons. But the tricky part of religious laws is to know whether or not we are being governed by a big what if, a big or else a mad God or if religious laws are actually developing our character. It's a little tricky sometimes. I went to the Mennonite Youth Convention in 1970, Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. It was a youth-only event back then. Most of us were white kids sporting long hair and bell-bottom pants. One of our speakers was a black man named Tom Skinner. And I remember two things about Tom. One, he held a question and answer session one night, which was, that was a new concept to me, that it was okay to ask questions. Who'd have thunk it? And two, I remember somebody asking Mr. Skinner the question, is it okay to dance? And he said, I think it depends on your culture. In my black culture, we dance all the time. It's a way to express joy, so yeah, it's okay. We dance, you white folks have to figure it out. And I began to think, wait, is this some sort of Mennonite loophole in the no dance rule? It seemed to me like the cat was crawling out of the Mennonite dancing bag. So the scripture lesson we heard from Jeremiah often is one that comes out during the season of Lent. But I think we can get it out in this month of June too. The Ten Commandments are the backdrop and the other covenant agreements that God had previously provided. But the language here is interesting, to say the least. There is a religious shift going on. Instead of a mountaintop with fire and trembling and written in stone laws comes this. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts instead. And we will be closer than ever, which was a different way to look at God, not a faraway God or an angry one, but a close one, very close. But it is also a different way to look at the rules. No longer are they imposed on the cranky, but laws are there to be cherished, to be close, to be freeing. Now, as you might suspect, when it comes to dancing, everyone has a 25-year head start on me. I am not a dancer, I am a shuffler. It began in the family room with our baby daughter, me slinging Becky around to the sounds of CCR's Cotton Fields. And Connie began to notice this and to ask, if you can dance with your daughter, why can't you dance with me? And I had my list of excuses that one's living room is different than dancing in public, and I don't really dance, I shuffle, and that it's awkward, and it's really silly, really, and it's embarrassing. Someday, she said, someday we will dance. And that day did come. It was actually at a wedding reception for a couple whose wedding I had officiated. The bride was an impish sort of girl. A bit of a trickster she was, and with great stealth and with great cunning, she got the DJ to play Color My World by Chicago, the very song we had sung at our wedding. And so there we were, clomping around the dance floor with great reluctance, moving from taboo to obligation, Mennonite boy, Methodist girl, breaking taboo, a very religious taboo, and awkward and clumsy it was. Well, one day Jesus was talking with some very religious people. Some religious people who knew their religious laws and who knew them very well, to a T, and practiced them, shall we say, religiously. And Jesus said to them all, I have not come to abolish any of the religious laws that you have, nor am I opposed to any of the great prophets that have processed them with you. In fact, I'll say this, Jesus said, whoever breaks or teaches others to break them are at the bottom of God's totem pole. But whoever does the rules, note, it does not say who believes them, it says who does them and teaches others to do them too, go to the top of God's totem pole. And in fact, Jesus said, you all can do better than your religious instructors. It is not an easy process to explain of growing up from a toddler into adulthood. I recently heard that there are adulting classes springing up around the nation. And so maybe the church does have a role to play. Who'd have thunk it? It is not easy to explain how we come to own the behaviors that we have, how we have learned them, where they come from, how to go from something written down on paper or stone to something written in our hearts, how to go off page and into the neighborhood. Now, music is another thing that I know little about, but I've watched in amazement our daughter Becky go from plinking erratic tones on an out-of-tune piano to composing her own recital piece and going off page to perform it. When I listen to Rochelle play the piano, I know she is following a script, but the sound that comes off that piano is not stuck on the page. The sound has soul, it has a life of its own, discipline and movement. Mark can read music, and I'm pretty sure he can, but it's not the notes in his book, it's the sound that he can create from those notes that astound the ear. I have fond memories of a guy named Vern Rempel playing improv piano at a Mennonite gathering just for the joy of it. Imagine, no notes, no script, only the creation of sound, which is a whole nother thing. How does one explain these things, the movement from plinky notes to performance, the move from chafing at the rules to performing them? It is hard to explain. Lydia's wedding reception was the last place that I danced. It is not noteworthy by any stretch of the imagination, shuffling around like any late-to-the-party Mennonite dancer would be, but it was different in one regard. The reception was in full swing, with much music and much fun being had by all, and then the DJ called for all married couples to come to the dance floor. This was the one where, during the song, the couples are excused to sit down according to how long they've been married. And so I stood up and the music began, and I was waiting for Connie to return from the loo, and when she appeared, I waved her towards the floor, and we did our thing, finished next to first. But later she said, "What I loved most, it was the first time ever you stood waiting to dance with me." And it was true. I was a long way from the bleachers of my high school gym class, just watching. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, has this to say: all of the written down commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, any other commandment is summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the laws. And all this does have something to do with the faces that we see each day, part of our vision statement. Earlier, I read from a second century list, a second century Christian explaining what a Christian was list, and they did not give a creed or a list of proper beliefs, but instead they gave a list of behaviors. And if someone asked us in 2019 what a Christian is, what would we say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to your neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Leaves a lot of room for improv. Sometimes follow Jesus around the Gospels. His teaching is simple, yet unbelievably profound. He displays self-control, but yet was quite uninhibited. He would affirm individuals and yet disturb them as well. There was a direction to his life, but also spontaneity along the way. Jesus was reliable yet unpredictable. He would attract a crowd. People would flock to hear him, and at the same time, he could be shocking and outrageous, and they would walk away. Yet, you did not know what he would do next, yet in everything he did, he was consistent, which in some way is a bit like dancing, like playing improv. And maybe we as wayfarers could be a little bit like that.